Hello, everyone. Welcome to Goose's Quizzes Headquarters podcast, GQHQPQ. My name's Scott. I am the logistics manager and producer of the podcast.
My name is Louis. I'm the operations manager and Scott's husband.
And my name's Jack, and I'm alone and the events manager.
All right. Fantastic. Good. It's been a while since we've recorded, if we can peek behind the curtains a little bit.
Yes. We're getting excuses in early in case we are ring rusty.
Yeah. Yeah, we're taking a jump at it after a few weeks out of the studio because of the Fringe Festival, the elimination game that we had, which was an absolute hoot and holler. But we did record a few shorter episodes.
Some bankers to tide you over.
Exactly, since we had a lot to do, but still wanted to put something out. So, but yeah, back in it.
We are, and you can hear from the excitement in our voices that the slovenly period post-Fringe is over and we're ready to take the bull by the horns once again.
Yeah, yeah. We all had a good little break after a fun month. Still recovering from a little bit of sickness, but that's okay. Don't worry about me, listening. But yeah, well, we got the percentage game coming up, which we're back to 5 questions.
Whoa.
Which is very exciting.
We're going to do one more question every week.
Yeah.
We're going to build up our tolerance.
Yeah, until we get to 100 and then we're going to start working our way back down.
100 questions in a podcast.
Yeah, quick fire. Bow, bow, bow.
Bow.
But if you don't know what that is, we'll get into that shortly. But Louis organized some questions, so thank you very much for that. We'll talk about the Fringe a little bit later as well, but I'm very excited to go back to 5 questions. I thought that I'd maybe take another run at the percentage game introduction because I thought it was high energy, but listening back, it wasn't very high energy. So I might try that now. And then if it works, I'm going to cut it into the next episode and so on and so forth. But if not, just let me get in the zone. The percentage game, we take 5 questions that we put into our in real life pub quizzes. We know the percentage of teams that get each of those questions correct. Louis brings them here, presents them to us, and we have to guess the percentage of each team that got each one correct. We can answer them, work together for that. This one's not going to be the one. This is not going to be it. This is not going to be it. But yeah. And then whoever gets the most points at the end, whoever's closest to the percentage wins. And then the most points at the end wins. And I'm here and Louis here, but he won't be playing the game. And Jack's here and he will be playing the game.
Sometimes.
Goose is away, but we're here.
Right.
And we're going to play the percentage game.
Yeah, I think you got all the right words there, just in a different order.
So yeah,
if you want to edit.
If you want to edit out and move things around, that'd be perfect.
What if, can we add some fun? Thrilling.
Whoa.
Yeah. All right. I can make something out of that. All right.
Yeah, we're getting to question one now, brother. You've both got whiteboards in front of you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Squeaky, confusing relations squeaky. Going on here already.
For long-time listeners, just to complicate things further. Yeah, you both got squeaky, clean whiteboards. You want to squeak them?
Yeah.
That was disappointing.
Yeah, a little bit. Scott, you want to give it a crack?
No.
DJ over there.
Well, this is great audio.
It's no longer squeaky clean.
Yeah, squeaky clean whiteboards. We're going to go through some questions. We're going to see what percentage of teams got it correct. And we're going to have some fun. The real points will be the friendship that we develop along the way.
Yeah, the questions that we don't ask.
The answers that we do learn. Yeah, we've got 5 bad boys. So we're jumping in at the deep end. We'll see our podcasting stamina and yours as well, how it's held up. Question 1. Which biblical figure was swallowed by a whale?
Okay.
So, which biblical figure was swallowed by a whale?
Well, the famous band name has completely misled me to start with there. My first instinct was Noah because of the band Noah and the Whale. The biblically inaccurate
right.
band name.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's not, is it?
Oh, I have a quick question.
Uh-huh.
Was Pinocchio in the Bible?
No.
Right. That was terrifying. That was the source of my first ever nightmare created by a film,
oh, really?
Pinocchio being swallowed by the whale.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a plethora of nightmare
similar
scenarios.
To Mark in Deep Sea.
Deep Sea.
Yeah, Mark has a fear of giant squid.
You got a fear of big whales.
Yeah. It's a very 18th century fear to have that, isn't it?
Is it Jonah?
I think it's Jonah, yeah.
Jonah and the whale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking of the band as well, but I thought the band was called Jonah and the Whale.
So many layers of deception.
Okay, so we'll work together for this, but then we verse each other in the percentage. Louis, mm-hmm. lock in Jonah and the Whale.
Correct. J-Money.
All right. Thank Christ. Better together, Scott. And yet.
Now it's head to head.
Here we temporarily part ways.
I've got fun facts for all the questions.
Oh.
Fun facts. Answer, Jonah. Correct. And then...
That's pretty fun, actually. When we get it right, it is fun.
I can give you some fun Bible things. Weird Bible things. I don't know if you've read the Bible much recently.
Not recently.
No?
No, not for some time. They came into my school with Gideon's Bibles when we were teenagers that had like a contents page at the front where you could look up teenage issues and it would take you to a specific verse. It was like, wow. I've got bad skin.
Minecraft.
Yeah.
Scared of whales.
It is my favorite semi-regular theme on Twitter when someone turns a popular subject into a preacher joke. Do you know who else had bad skin and had a long weekend? Jesus. Weird Bible stuff. In Genesis, Jacob wrestles with God and
what?
Wins.
What? Oh.
Now, full disclosure, I didn't put this list together, so I could have been stitched up. As we always say, it sounds true.
I have
so
full trust.
It's probably true.
That's a great segment. Is that one of these is a terrible lie? We have to work out which one it is. That'd
I've got a longer one.
What was Jonah's special move? That's what I want to know.
The shorter ones is a talking donkey, talking trees and
very,
such.
Very Pinocchio.
Yeah.
The longer one. So in one of the books, a bald man punishes some mean kids by having them mauled by a bear.
Wow.
Do you want the extract?
Yeah.
So this is from the...
Kids, get out of my yard.
I'll set the bears on you. This is from the Bible. From there, Elisha went up to Bethel. As he was walking along the road, some boys came out of the town and jeered at him. Get out of here, Baldy, they said. Oh. Get out of here, Baldy.
There cannot be.
He turned around
in the Bible.
Looked at them and called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the boys.
What? Hang on.
And he went on to Mount Carmel and from there returned to Samaria.
I didn't have a concept of quite how many boys.
How many jeering
42
boys?
42 of the boys. No. That's a 42 is a part of this group of jeering boys.
Oh, wow. Now,
the uneaten.
The one thing I did pick up on straight away when I read that, when that was sent to me, was the same as Jack. I could not believe the word balding has ever been used in any Bible. Oh, that seems like something that has only been around for 100 years.
It does make it seem relatable, though, because there's still groups of jeering boys to this day.
Yelling at bald people.
And yeah, God used to be cool.
Yeah.
He could just be like, come on, mate.
So that was the international version. The King James version. Sorry, you have to edit all this down, Scott. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tore 42 children of them.
Tore, good grief. I think thou bald head is even harsher. It's reducing his whole personhood to just the bald head.
Thou bald head.
Astonishing. Oh, wow.
So, the whale, that seems off pretty lightly, really. Jonah?
Yeah, I'd rather go...
And he came out of the whale, didn't he?
Did he get out? Yeah, again, is this a Pinocchio thing where the sort of tickling of the tonsil? Is that biblically accurate?
Let me out, wet fish. All right, I've got percentage.
Yeah, Jack, you got one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, I'm committed.
3, 2, 1, go. Okay. Let me change this. Jack, you've said
85%. I have faith in our public.
Scott.
76. Which makes it seem like I don't have faith.
Less faith.
Yep. Oh, ye of little faith.
I feel like people bald get head. Slipped up with... Oh, no, was that a bear?
Go up, thou bald head.
I think people might get slipped up with Noah.
Yeah, well, we both had that same instinct, but then quite quickly corrected was my thinking.
Okay, well, you're both close.
Okay.
We've got an 85 from Jack, 76 from Scott. This one came out at, it's between yous, 83%.
Oh.
Jack's closer, gets 2 points. Scott's further away, gets 1 point.
I always start strongly and then peter out with these listeners. So, don't, you know, I have less faith in me than I do in the in our fabulous public.
Well, you're manifesting it now. No one knew that until until you brought it to light.
Is there not some kind of eternal spreadsheet we take with, you know, publicly available with all of our scores on, carved?
Maybe.
Into the...
Two tablets.
Yeah.
Well, it's a start. We'll see how we get on. So we were talking about the Fringe before. For anyone that doesn't know, August, there's a massive performing arts festival. It's the biggest in the world, I believe. And we did a show. It was an interactive quiz show, which you might have heard if you've listened to any of the last podcasts that we've put out. It was, I would say, a roaring success.
It was glorious. It was glorious from start to finish. 24 nights in a Spiegel tent in the center of town. Yeah. More than 2,000 people came to see us. It was, and every single night was its own unique beast and its own unique joy.
Yes. Yes. It was a lot of fun. We put a lot of hard work into it. Something that I'm very proud of, and I know that everyone else here is as well. But we thought it'd be fun to sort of document this. So what we did is we set up a separate group chat channel, and we decided that we're going to record voice messages into it, which we can then slip into the podcast. So what we're going to do just for the first one, we'll find our feet with it, to what we're going to do with it. But I figured... we can listen to the very first one, which was whilst we were doing the test shows.
Yeah, taking it way back to June, I think this will be.
Yeah, which I know that some of the listeners have been to.
Mm.
So we got the first one. So we're going to listen to it, then we can discuss it a little bit, hopefully find some happy memories in there. But I believe the first one's from Goose. And he put a little... caption which just says system update today, so I don't know how this one's gonna go.
Just putting the final touches on the question system in the back end, and I must say I'm super excited when it's running through and picking all the questions for the evening. We've got the rounds all set up and ready to go. We've had a few teething problems with it, but I tell you what, it is looking class right now.
Few teething problems. I remember the teething problems.
Yeah, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that it was a bit seat of the pants, that first show.
The first one,
Yeah, it was. Goose did an extraordinary job after a pretty much total system collapse the night before, and pulled it round in astonishing fashion. Threw on the green jacket 20 minutes to go till doors, and straight in there with a fabulous test show. It's like massive sigh of relief afterwards. Thank God it works.
Yeah.
It works really well.
Yeah. I remember the day before and just being like, yeah, yeah, cool. It's good to go. And then the morning being like, I'm going to need to put a little bit of time into this. some things, not, I think, I don't know. I can't tell you what happened, but I just remember being like, all right, maybe I'll just leave you.
Yeah.
You can do that over there. And I'll, you know, not having any input into what the system was or is, or
yeah,
knowing how it works. I'll sort everything else.
Yeah, we scuttled around, did all the other menial jobs so we could get on with the big stuff. And yeah, it turned out wonderfully, wonderfully well at down at Assembly Roxy.
Yep.
Favourite venue of ours. And yeah, it was just the 100 folk came down, it completely sold out. Mm-hmm. And the enormous amount of goodwill in the room made us think, okay, here we go. A couple of months to go. We've got something here. We really have got something here.
Yeah. I think from that show, we tweaked a little bit, but not much. From the initial idea that we had,
yeah,
we pretty much stuck. It was more some of the theatrics,
yes,
that we changed. Do you want to say something that we threw out that we got rid of?
Well, we were going to pretend to be a supercomputer.
Yes.
Forgot all about this.
Yeah, it didn't quite work the first at the test show because there was something wrong with the laptop.
We had a a voice modulator which just refused to start working. So like, okay, so instead of like a computerized voice, it was like covering Louis's voice. It was just Louis's voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello, computer here.
Yeah. So then we sort of dropped it after that.
Yeah.
It was. I mean, it meant that it was a lot more kind of. It felt a lot warmer. Like actually, in the actual and show.
We still got the theatrics in there with the coin.
We got more theatrics.
Oh yeah.
With the coin and things like that. More theatrical as the show went on.
Yeah, the pageantry did increase exponentially. But yeah, it was a shame because I loved that voice modulator.
It was a lot of fun. I had to remember to delete the subscription.
Oh, sad.
We could have done the whole podcast.
We could have.
Next time.
Maybe. Ah, let's do another one.
We just tested the intro with the music and everything running exactly how it's meant to run. I'm still struggling to remember the lines of the intro, so it might be winged a little bit tonight, but when's the last time we did a show and not wing it a little bit?
That was still the test show. That was...
You can hear the smile in his voice, though. There is a slight nervousness there, but it's just... It's giddiness is the overriding thing.
He was very excited. I mean, we're all excited for it, but he was very excited. And I remember that, yeah... Also, his intro was something that got tossed out pretty quick.
Yeah.
Little giddy goose.
But he had it by like, in the actual shows, by like show three or something. It's just like, yeah, found his groove.
Yeah.
So,
nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. And the sort of, it was a fantastic venue that we got. It has to be said, Assembly Bijou. It's a beautiful 103-year-old red wooden interior, mirrored, beautiful old Spiegel tent. Yeah. And yeah, Goose sort of meandering. We had to pull the projector down for the show to work. And so Goose would kind of meander in from the back, weave his way into the audience. It was absolutely epic. And that was one of the great joys of it. For those who don't know how the elimination game worked, you stand in a zone on the floor, which corresponds to a correct answer to a question. Simple as that. So it was lots and lots of movement. And Goose was absolutely loving weaving his way around the audience, shepherding folk into his zone. Yeah.
Come in, my children.
Yeah. It's like one of those things you put a coin in that runs... on the side and gradually goes into the middle. Yeah. That was his intro.
You don't see those anymore. I don't want to go on nostalgia corner, but those used to be one of the great joys of my life as a child.
That's one of the downfalls of a cashless society. Yeah.
Question two. In which video game series would you find an enemy of mindless organisms called the Flood? So question two, in which video game series would you find an enemy of mindless organisms called the Flood?
Biblical again. Now, I asked this one at a quiz a couple of weeks back. So I want to hear your thought process on this one. Do you know it?
Mindless organisms. So we're talking like sort of zombie-esque. My go-to is usually like Resident Evil when it comes to named baddies.
Yeah, slightly different genre to that. It's a bit more kind of spacey, sci-fi-y. If I've got this, I hope I remember this right.
Ooh. Yeah, spacey, sci-fi. Is it, what's Samus from?
Metroid Prime.
Bigger than that, I would say. Huge game series.
Right.
But lots, yeah, sort of space shooting.
Is Interstellar a game?
I may be leading you down the garden path a bit.
Is it Space Invaders?
No, that would be... That's a great shout, but no.
Oh, okay.
That would be... Yeah, that mindless.
Definitely seem pretty mindless. Well, then, no, I don't know. Lego Star Wars?
No.
I have very limited video game knowledge, so I could have led you down the garden path a little bit here.
Was it on a specific console, or is it like a...
It's like a mega franchise.
Microsoft affiliated.
Jeez. Minecraft.
No. You're going to be here for a while.
Okay.
I believe it's Halo.
Oh.
Were my clues helpful at all there?
Yeah. I mean, now that you say it, yeah, it makes sense. But I think I haven't had much to do with Halo.
No.
But spacey, yeah. Cool guns, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever played it.
22 years it's been around. 2001, the first game.
Bloody good grief.
Great game.
You a big fan?
Well, that's in the office. You want to play it?
All right, we're going to take a pause. We're going to take a beat and play some Halo versus...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some of the levels in the first one are great.
Okay, but yeah, super well-known game.
Yeah.
But I don't know if those tidbits are well-known. Okay, Halo. The Beyonce song. Percentage-wise. Oh, this is tough.
This is really hard. Because this is one of those where... Usually it's a massive series, but... Because I don't know it, I assume it's harder than it probably actually is.
And usually there's some kind of gamer in a group.
Yeah, I think it's quite a high likelihood. I think I'm lowballing here, but I'm sticking with it.
Oh, go. Right. Jack, you've said?
51%.
Scott?
61%.
Okay, so it's between years again.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh. We've got 51 and a 61. This one came out at 58%.
Yes.
So Scott is closer this time. Only three away.
Same, yeah, three out each time so far.
Gets the 2 points. So well done, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Let's jump to an ad.
If you're looking for a social, corporate or fundraising quiz from the GQ team, get in touch with us via emailing events at goosesquizzes.com or visiting our website.
Take that, Halo. If you've not played the game, you should. It's a good game.
All right. Okay.
We can live stream it.
Is that what you call a first-person shooter?
It is, Grandad.
Another relative thrown into the mix.
An FPS.
I'll give it a go.
Yeah, let's do it for the first time. Live broadcast.
I'd love to see you two play it together. Yeah. Okay, question three. We've got some clean whiteboards and some keen minds. Question three. Who starred in Beetlejuice, Girl Interrupted, and Stranger Things?
Oh.
Beetlejuice, Girl Interrupted, and Stranger Things.
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton. He's in Beetlejuice. Is he in Douglas. Stranger Things? I was thinking Winona Ryder. Is she in Beetlejuice or is she just in the old... I get that and Edward Scissorhands confused. All the sort of weirdo 80s films.
Beetlejuice is the guy with the striped jumpsuit.
Yeah. Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
With Alec Baldwin thingy from Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, no, you could well... I don't know. Is Michael Keaton in Stranger Things?
I've not seen any.
Catherine O'Hara.
Catherine O'Hara.
Oh, yeah, legend.
Yeah, she's in Beetlejuice.
The only thing is, the reason that I'm wavering towards Winona, even though I've got no real clue about Beetlejuice or Girl Interrupted, is I wrote a quiz about Stranger Things last year, a 5-round extensive Stranger Things quiz. Right. And so I've barely seen an episode of the show, but I trolled the wiki for days and days on end. And I don't remember seeing Michael Keaton, but I can also head, I can also picture him in a police uniform or something like that, you know?
Let's go Winona.
I feel bad if this is wrong. I feel terrible if this is
wrong.
It's
better than any guess that I've got.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, we did it. We both did it.
Sweet, merciful Lord. That is a relief.
Well done. I'll give you some facts.
Go on.
While you think about the number.
About Winona.
Winona, so we can get to know her.
Can I give a Winona fact?
Yeah, go for it.
I think I'm right in saying that Johnny Depp had her name tattooed on his wrist when they got together, and then after they split up got it changed to read Wino. Astonishing scenes.
Wow.
And Beetlejuice nearly turned it down because she said it was too weird. Didn't want to get typecast.
To be fair, she had some foresight there. She's been in a lot of weird stuff pretty consistently ever since.
Owns the rights to Girl Interrupted, the novel. Spent 10 years trying to get it made.
Good grief.
And into the good stuff now. Apparently is an insomniac and spends nights on the phone with Al Pacino, who is also an insomniac.
Oh, that is brilliant.
Yeah, could be made up. I've not fact-checked any of these.
If you sort of, you know when people used, I don't know if you can still do this, where they could sort of connect a police radio and stuff and do that. If you got onto that conversation.
Oh, I mean, Al Pacino just has it like a hotline. It's like, oh, can't sleep? phone Al.
That would be amazing.
He's always up.
Imagine him furiously yelling at you to go to sleep. But no, doesn't he famously have a Shrek phone case?
Does he?
Yeah, he does. Al Pacino was pictured in a restaurant with his very, very young girlfriend.
They got divorced.
Oh, no. Yeah. Who could have foreseen?
In the news the other day. Al Pacino Shrek phone case.
Yeah. And it's like a sort of $5 Amazon comedic phone case. So it's just the idea of him, Winona, pulling that up to his ear. Worst Al Pacino impression of all time. I've got limited vocal range today, folks.
Do you know who did have a dial-up service to get their new songs? They Might Be Giants.
Really?
Yeah. They used to, put it in like sort of an answering machine and you could call it and listen to the new song. Because it was only a one-way thing, you had to be very lucky to like get into it because all these people just kept trying to call. Right. Like, it was like once a month or something.
Streaming.
Yeah, back in the 80s or whatever.
That is genius.
I think it was called like Dial-A-Song or something. But, well, there we go.
On the phone in silence for 3.5 minutes.
Listening to this terrible weird quality. Lyric.
Yes. Winona, percentage.
This one's tough.
Ooh.
Okay, I'm ready.
Go.
Jack, you said
72%.
Scott,
70%.
72. You guys are in sync, but this one came out at 80%. So Jack's closer this time and gets the 2 points.
Blimey.
But we've got 5 questions this week, so it doesn't matter too much. We're still in the hunt, Scott.
I'd be done in if that was a podcast short. Mm. But we're back into the...
Alas.
Podcast back into the longs.
Podcast dungarees.
So long, you have to roll them up. What are we on? Question 4. Sports.
Exciting times.
That's the question.
Yes.
What percentage of teams know sports? Question 4. Which annual motorsport event held in June sees competitors race over 5,000 kilometers on their way to victory?
Ooh.
So yeah, buzzwords. Annual motorsport. June. 5,000 kilometers. Victory. 2. On.
Question mark.
In.
5,000 K is an awfully long way.
That's days worth of driving, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, more than one day, for sure.
How fast are these cars? Okay, is it the Qatar Rally? Is it a rally?
I think, yeah.
Let's break it down.
Well, there's the first thing for me that springs to mind is there's one from, is it Paris to Dakar? I don't know where Dakar is.
Maybe it's but, Dakar is what I'm thinking, yeah, not Qatar.
There we go.
Okay. It is.
Fantastic. So yeah, and that is...
Dakar is the capital of Senegal.
I see. Incredible. I really should have known that. That's mortifying. Nevertheless, at least I knew it was a city and not a country. But yeah, that feels to me like it must be about right, mustn't it?
Or I'm thinking like...
5,000K could be longer than that though. But I think in my head, that is like the endurance race that people know about, like rally or
the
style.
Is it the Gumball Run?
Gumball 3,000.
3,000. Good pull. but it's 5,000 kilometers. No. Or is that 3,000 miles? Is 3,000 miles 5,000 kilometers?
No. I ran by that.
Not exactly, so I don't think that makes sense.
No, I don't think it's that.
Okay, so...
I think that's basically all we've got by the sounds of it. It's
Indianapolis, 500.
Mm-hmm. There's the 24 hours of Le Mans, but I can't imagine, like you say, you cover 5,000K in 24 hours. I think it's PDR.
Right. Okay, yeah, let's...
Let's lock in?
Yeah, let's...
What was your answer?
The Paris to Dakar
rally.
PDR.
Yeah.
Right. That is incorrect.
Ooh!
Okay, let's take another stab. Let's pretend
it's Le Mans.
Okay. It is Le Mans. 5,000K.
Yeah, record is 5,410 kilometers in 2010.
Having a general.
They have
24 hours.
Oh, they got 24 hours to just go like a clappers.
Yeah.
Right. My brain cannot compute that they travel that far. That is incredible.
Le Mans. Right.
Yeah.
Cool. What sort of vehicles?
Those rickshaws.
Yeah. Those like two-person train things that you have to...
Yeah.
Down the mine shaft.
Yeah. With a bindle full of sandwiches.
It's a tough gig.
Every day. Every day these people have to do it. 5 days a week.
No, but like... Rally formula.
It's not really quite specialized
this
cars.
Is for like, the listeners, I know exactly what it is.
Yeah,
it's not your normal everyday car.
It's kind of like racing versions of supercars.
So not as Formula One as Formula One, but more more car based. Easier to get in and out of, I would say, than a Formula One car.
Okay, cool.
Nice, yeah.
That is remarkable.
Part of the Triple Crown of Motorsport alongside the Monaco Grand Prix and Rainbow Road. No, the Indy 500.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the tradition of spraying champagne, so drinking it, started because they were afraid they were going to get poisoned.
Interesting.
No, I made that last bit up.
We don't know what's true.
Yeah, we're so undiscerning as people. So the Triple Crown, so have people won that before then? People have won the kind of all three? Because that is mad if so.
Those are very different races. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really diverse portfolio. There must have been people who have done it, otherwise they probably wouldn't have made it a thing.
Graham Hill is the only driver to have completed the Triple Crown.
That is mad. Wow. That is absolutely cracked.
Okay.
Right now, Juan Pablo Montoya and Fernando Alonso are the only active drivers to have won two of the three events. Fernando needs to win the Indy 500.
Oh, I'd love to see that. It's such a different discipline.
Yeah, do you reckon it transfers? I mean, if you're a good driver, you...
But then it's like, where do you... Those are such different disciplines. Do you think, where does it end? Are they going to do a demolition derby?
Just finish out on semi-retired driving Ubers.
That'd be wonderful. And it all has to be in the same vehicle.
For
you have to win a demolition derby in a Formula One car.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Do you reckon if I start training, I could do all three?
No.
I appreciate your
sorry, Scott. I don't want to put you down too much.
Nah, that's fair. That's fair.
I think that's a hard question.
Yeah.
But people do know about that stuff.
Hmm.
Get the ASMR pen on board there.
Pen on board. What's the farthest you've traveled in 24 hours?
Oh, it's almost definitely like flight. From Australia.
Yeah, I think you might win this contest.
Yeah.
In the UK.
I reckon so. The first field I've been is Vietnam. That was a 13-hour flight, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, planes fast.
Yeah. Listener, if you take one thing from today, planes are fast.
There we go.
And if they were going to compete in Le Mans, they would win.
All right, I got one.
Yeah,
okay, turn. Wow.
Ooh, gaping chasm between us. 38%.
Jack said 38. Scott?
66. Which I now feels a bit high.
It is quite high.
No spoilers.
38 and a 66. This one came out at 35%.
Oh, three again? Hot streak. I've been bottled up over Fringe. Uncorking.
Yeah,
live.
Scott, you blew that. He's spraying his champagne everywhere now.
Yeah. Not drinking. Yeah. Okay.
You sound genuinely gutted. I apologize. There's still one more to go, is there not?
Shut it down.
Yeah. No, well done. I think just because we're talking about it, it's like, I don't want all these things. I don't know what demolition derby is. That's what people know. Monster truck. Imagine a monster truck rally, but like a. Like an endurance long distance one. That'd be fun.
That would be incredible.
Yeah, I suppose. Have you seen Monster Truck?
I've seen one.
a Monster Truck show?
Yeah.
No way. That's great.
How was it?
I was, yeah, good.
Here?
No, in Australia.
Right. Have you been to a Renaissance Fair?
No.
Right.
But that'd be fun. Yeah.
I don't want to combine the two, but in my head, they go side by side. Yeah. It's like you've got a Saturday off in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Big night, monster truck show, or Renaissance Fair.
Ooh, what would you choose?
That is a great question.
I feel like I'd get better food at the Renaissance Fair.
I think so.
That is true. If you're going for the culinary reasons alone.
Yeah, it's probably a few restaurants you'd choose over.
Yeah, happy anniversary, darling.
Yeah. You can either have pheasant or corn dogs.
Yeah, out of those, I think I struggle with it. Because Renaissance Fair, am I right in thinking there's a sort of participation element?
I think.
Do you have to tell people sire and stuff like that?
It's probably not, you know, a price of entry there, but yeah.
I think people just wouldn't speak to you.
People would get into it.
Yeah.
People would be like, yeah, I'm dressing up. Let's go. Should I dress up? I mean, you might look out of place if you don't.
Yeah. I think of the two kinds of audience where, yeah, one you dress up and sort of, in my head, like I say, speak the archaic lingo, yeah, and one you just scream woo.
Yeah.
I'd feel probably more at home in the latter.
Very loud at monster trucks.
There's a lot of wooing in the Renaissance.
corner.
I feel like there'd be people coming up and like touching your clothes and being like, what are these modern, like, you know, futuristic? Yeah. Like picking out your watch and being like, oh, is this what sundials are like? Who are you, weary traveller?
Who is this wizard?
Yeah.
I knew a guy who went out with the Scottish rugby team to Japan for the Rugby World Cup 4 years ago. Mm. And one of the players, they had a sundial in the back garden of their hotel. And he was like, oh, what's that? And the guy explained to him what a sundial was. And his response was, what will they think of next?
Okay.
The future's looking bright, lads.
Mind blown.
Name and, by an name archaic and shame. Invention.
There we go. Yeah, who's your pick for the Rugby World Cup?
Put it on your boards now.
There's a great picture on the Renaissance Fair Wikipedia page.
Of Graham Hill dressed up.
Of the quadruple crown.
Quite a large man with long hair. Dressed as a centaur.
Oh, yes. I love that mythology comes into it. So is he just out there? Is there someone as the back legs? Or is he just scraping it around?
I think he's scraping it around.
He just grew
blade legs.
You can see his exact route around.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the back half of a pommel horse.
Yeah, we should see if there's one in Scotland somewhere.
A centaur.
Well, I was thinking more Renaissance Fair.
A Renaissance Fair.
Yeah, Royal Highland Showground. I could see being there. Stranza.
I don't think they're that popular here because there are.
We have actual history.
You can fall over and land in a castle.
Yeah, that's true. You don't have to pretend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we still eat a lot of red meat in game. Yeah. Still addicted to gravy.
Yeah, that's true. Not much mead though.
No, we need to fix that.
Get a recipe going.
Yeah.
If you've got a good recipe for mead, send it in.
What is? Yeah.
It's just honey wine, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fermented honey drink.
Old school kombucha.
That's what they call it.
Right, question five. Question five. Nile Rodgers is the co-founder of which disco funk band?
Oh, love it. Love this question. Do you know this?
Isn't that Shaggy? Shaggy, like from Scooby Doo.
Have you?
That's Norval.
Right. Right. The cartoon.
That's much more psychedelic than disco.
It wasn't me.
Not that Shaggy.
Nile Rodgers. Chic.
I believe so, because nowadays. The order has switched, so he was formerly a member of Chic, and now Chic tour as Chic feat Nile Rodgers.
Oh.
He's given himself higher billing.
Right.
As after
or if they removed themselves from...
Yeah, I think he's the only original member remaining in Chic.
Right.
And Chic, he's a sort of absented himself from Chic in the band name. It's a work of genius. Oh. But I would like to see him live, because like Nile Rodgers and... Bernard Edwards produced so many. So they did David Bowie Let's Dance, they did Diana Ross I'm Coming Out, they did loads of so it's just their set is just a series of just the most popular songs of all time with a massive disco band. It looks sensational, but yeah, I think you're right.
Okay. I don't know where that came from, where I pulled that from, but did you say it was correct?
No.
Oh.
I didn't say it yet.
And is it?
Yes.
Yes. Maybe it's the messaging. Sheik feet Nile Rodgers. He's done it.
Maybe. It's finally paid off.
He's getting his name out here. You've not seen him? I feel like it. I thought everyone had seen Sheik.
What? Like live?
Yeah. I mean, I felt like they do pretty much every music festival going.
Oh, they're all over the place.
They never stop touring.
I don't know when the last... I don't think I've been to a music festival.
Wow. Stag Do, music festival, Nile Rodgers.
I only went on a tram for the first time last year.
Centaur.
What a weekend.
If we could combine them all.
Yeah, we can get... Oof. You should have went to Connect Festival, got the tram.
To Connect Festival.
As a centaur.
That'd be so annoying, stood behind someone in a massive crowd. Would you get on their back like people do on people's shoulders? But then you're staring directly at the back of their head, even worse.
I think you'd stand on the back.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll add Sea Sheik to my bucket list.
Sea Sheik.
No.
Correct is the answer. True. Yes.
All right. But percentage of people that know.
Who knows?
I've got nothing to lose here. Just bashing one in.
Oh, they played Sheik here in July. Could have seen them.
Like a dedicated concert.
Is it Usher Hall, I think? I looked, it was like £60.
They're in Australia now.
Yeah?
Or will be soon, sorry. Bit far. But
not going to go home.
You'd have to pay for accommodation.
Hey, but the distance I could travel in 24 hours.
Hey, this guy. Yeah, Usher Hall, Nile Rodgers, and Sheik.
I don't know... I feel like this is a...
Just constantly on tour.
They just love it.
It's all he's ever known. Oh, he toured with Cher.
Cher.
Right, go.
All right, done it.
Oh, my word.
Oh! It's a reverse of what we had previously. So, Jack, you said...
70%.
And Scott...
72%.
72%.
This isn't completely unscripted.
Well, it's not between yous. We've got a 70 and a 72. This one came out at 51%.
Oh my word. The marketing has not worked.
So Jack wins that one and takes his final tally to 9 points. Oh. Scott on 6.
Nice one. What a battle that was. That was close. That was close throughout.
And I mean, our numbers were close. For sure. No, well done. Well done. Well deserved.
Thanks. What do I win? I'll get to pick what family member you are to me.
Wow, what an honor for both of us. No, we'll get you a little plaque made up or something. I don't know. Maybe we could get someone to sponsor a prize. Hint, yeah. Listener, if you want to send us. No.
Send us some mead.
Mead.
Just get rid of the
I think it was
household belongings.
You can get mead.
Well, it's like on the last live stream we did, what's the creepiest object you have in your home? House. Send me the creepiest object you have in your home.
Kirsty's bag of teeth.
The weirdest tin food.
Yeah.
Yeah, an unlabeled tin. We can open it live on the podcast.
Yes, that's what we want.
All right, well done, Jack. Thank you everyone for listening. That's all the questions that we've got for you today.
I'll find some mead.
Louis going to find us some mead.
Just add some honey to wine. My voice needs it at this point, to be fair.
A little bit of honey wine. All right. But yeah, thanks for listening. Get in touch. If you have any more fun facts about any of the things that we said today, we would love to hear them. But otherwise, follow us on the socials. We might start putting some questions up on the Spotify as well, if you're listening via Spotify. So you can put your 2 cents in.
Maybe love it.
A poll, something like that. But thanks for listening, everyone. This has been GQHQPQ. See yous.
Cheers.
This is a big shout out to all the Patreons that support the fundraising wing. Stephen Lamb, Gatho, Catherine Andrews, Russ Kirk, the Canadian half of Huguelet Goose, Luddite16, Susie Pope, Joe Williams, Rachel Alexander, Howl Owl, Shara Gatari, Icy Canuck, Joanna MUFC fan, Just a Girl in the USA, and the other Patreons who have chosen to remain anonymous. We love you all and are grateful for your involvement. If you want to support us helping provide charities with free fundraising quizzes, please visit patreon.com/goosesquizzes for more information.